Greetings, my brothers and sisters. Sending gratitude to all of you who are joining in today to accompany us down the rabbit hole of self-exploration through plant medicines. My name is Ryan Sprague, and I'm here to tell you that your frequency is now set and tuned to explore psychedelic medicines and the impact they've made among the countless psychonauts exploring the last true frontier. Buy a ticket and take the ride with me as we get true first-hand accounts of the experiences, benefits, risks, and transformations taking place within the ever-expanding world of psychedelic medicines on This One Time on Psychedelics. What is up, everybody? I hope you are all having the absolute best day ever. And recently, I've been thinking a lot into how relationships, for me anyways, are the ultimate psychedelic experience, as for one, they are the ultimate mirrors back to you. And for two, if you can move past the ego traps associated with being triggered in relationships, you can experience the pure divinity on the other side of them, just as is possible with psychedelic medicines. As such, for this week's episode, I had many of you reach out after Rachel and I's last podcast, saying you wanted more of what we've gone through, what our relationship looks like these days, and how we persevered being with each other for the last 7 years through all of our trials and tribulations. And as such, I wanted to have her back to give you guys what you were asking for and to speak vulnerably about all the ins and outs of our relationship. We start the episode with a quick recap of the last few weeks of our lives before heading into all the juicy and vulnerable aspects of our relationship. So sit back, enjoy the show, and give me a big hand in welcoming my beautiful partner, Rachel Veratimos, back to the show. Guys, I am so excited to be joined again today by Rachel Veratimos, my beautiful partner in crime in this amazing experience of life that we call being alive. And Rach and I were talking about the fact that we haven't really done an episode based on the whole psychedelic nature of a relationship. You know, one of the things I hear often that I totally believe in is that relationships are the ultimate mirror. And I talk about cannabis and other plant medicines being a mirror quite often. And a lot of times relationships can be challenging, right? We've gone through many challenges of our own that we're going to be talking about today. And just diving into this whole conversation around relationships being a psychedelic, like I mentioned in the intro. So Rachel, amazing to have you back, baby, from a room over. Because guys, we don't have a full-on podcast setup here where we can do it with a camera set up for two people. So I was like, well, we still got to do it on Riverside. So greetings from a room over, baby.
Greetings. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat.
Of course, baby. I always love having you on. And, you know, it's funny too, because, you know, as we've been talking about recently, you know, there's been a lot going on with energy. You know, obviously for everyone listening, if you haven't heard Rachel before, she's an astrologer. She works with human design. She works with gene keys. She's my oracle, basically. Whenever something's going on, whenever anything is challenging me or going really well in life, I always go out and I'm like, Ray, what's happening in the stars for this? So first, before we dive into all the other stuff, what's been going on in the stars, baby? We just had an eclipse. We had a lunar eclipse. We had a solar eclipse. We got to see totality. Give a little update before we dive into everything else. What's been going on in your world?
There's a lot going on in the stars. We're still in the eclipse portal, pretty much. People think that it's just like the day of the eclipse and now it's over. No, it actually reverberates over the next 6 months to the year. That was just like the trigger point. And we're still in like the intensity of that eclipse energy. And then not only that, we just had a big Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which last time Jupiter and Uranus came into conjunction was in Pisces in 2011. And it really is setting up like a new 14-year cycle for people. So it's not only we had the solar eclipse in Aries, which Aries is the first sign in the zodiac wheel. It's the kickstarter. It's the initiator. It's the initiator of the new year, but also initiator of newness. When we have the North Node in Aries, it's initiating a lot of newness into society. It's initiating a lot of courage and boldness and self-belief and self-direction and belief in self. And I think these nodes are really setting us up for a big shift that's coming for humanity, where we're not going to do things the same way. And so this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction now that's happened 14 years later after the first one in 2011, this one's in Taurus. And I believe that this shakeup is going to be related to our financial system, our food system, technology and being online versus being in person, because Taurus is about what you can tangibly touch with your in sense and feel. So yeah, that was a giant piece of astrology that happened only a couple weeks after the eclipse. And it might have even been more giant than the eclipse or equally giant. So there's a lot going on. And then we just had the Scorpio full moon, which was a very death and rebirth type of energy, because that is what Scorpio is. And so it's just been like, wham, wham, thank you, ma'am. And so in May, I think it's going to, you know, start to smooth out a little bit, but we're still going to be getting the reverberation and lessons from all of this astrology, because everything happens in cycles. Things don't just happen one day and that's it. And we're off to the races. So I'm excited for a lot of change on the horizon. I think a lot of people can feel it right now. I think a lot of people can feel, maybe some people feel like they're in the void. Maybe some people have been going through many death and rebirth cycles. I actually think a lot of people have been going through many death and rebirth cycles. And this is just the beginning. So I'm excited to see what's to come.
Strap on your curiosity caps, guys. We're going deep. You know, it's so funny too, because when we were at Confluence, that music festival, we had so many crazy synchronicities happen. So I'll share one of the weird stuff that happened. There's certain things that I won't share publicly yet, but one thing that happened was we went to El Salvador a week before we went to Austin. And for everyone listening, we were just hanging out in El Salvador, having a blast with our Enlifted fam. Shout out to Mark and Kim and Adam and everyone we love down there in Virginia. We had a group chat and on WhatsApp. And Mark was posting pictures of raccoons with like barbells. He was using like an AI thing to like post funny pictures of raccoons. And when we were in El Salvador, a couple of the nights before we got there, I guess they had left one of the doors open in the house, and come down in the morning and a raccoon had just torn everything apart in the house. And so it was like this recurring theme of like, are the raccoons going to get in? And then Mark is posting these funny pictures. And so when we go to Austin, what's up?
He's posting funny pictures of raccoons.
Yeah, I felt funny pictures of raccoons. And so when we go to Austin, I have a buddy of mine that watches a couple of plants for me when I'm away. And so he calls me and goes, hey, we have a visitor in your room. And I'm like, what do you mean? And apparently what happened was, a few days before that, he had hit me up and said there was a hole in my roof. So I'd had a buddy come over and repair the hole in the roof. And apparently there was a raccoon in the ceiling when he repaired it, because this raccoon fell out of the ceiling into my room. And my buddy went in there and all he heard was like a brrr, like that. And he had no idea what it was. So he closes the door and calls me. And he was pretty freaked out, obviously. He's like, hey, what do I do about this? I was like, all right, let me call you back. And I called our, our good friend Eddie Madden, who's been on the show before. And this is literally how the conversation goes. I call him and I go, dude, I'm in Austin. There's a raccoon in my room right now. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he goes, hey, is Adam over your house? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'll call you when it's done. Just hangs up. And he literally gets this raccoon out of my room while I was gone. So that was one of the weird synchronicities that we had. And there were a lot of those kind of like weird things getting blended together. Almost felt like, I don't know how to describe it, but it felt like a quickening, where like, every once in a while, there would be something very strange that happened that didn't make any sense, but it kind of did, because we were talking about raccoons and things like that. But then when we got to Confluence, the funny thing was there were so many other synchronicities happening. We were on this farm called Sovereignty Ranch. We ended up having some food tickets that we got because I was a presenter there. We were doing Breathe with Cannabis there. And so I would go up to get food and they would give you like a number for your food. And I got 44 five times in a row. One of the other things that happened was we were at the mineral pool one day and this guy James was talking to this guy Rel, and they discovered him. We're in Texas, by the way, right? When this happens, they discovered they were born on the same day, same month, same year, same city in New York, right? So they're having like this, oh my God, freak out moment. And this other guy in the pool comes over and he's like, what are you guys freaking out about? And James just randomly looks at him and goes, I don't suppose your birthday is November 3rd, joking, right? And this guy looks like a deer in headlights. He's like, dude, that is my birthday. And they're like, oh my God, right? So like so many of those things happening that were very psychedelic around the eclipse. And it was funny because once we got to the eclipse festival, all the weird stuff happening before, like raccoons falling through my ceiling, all of that kind of stopped. And then the synchronicity started being really positive. But it was very interesting. And one of the things I've loved most about our relationship is that we both cover different areas within the realm of esotericism, if you want to call it that.
But at the same time, we're able to support each other so much through those times. Because when that raccoon fell through my ceiling, you better believe the first person I hit up was Rachel after my buddy Eddie. And I was like, babe, what is going on? Because there were some other weird things that maybe at one point I'll talk about publicly that happened. But but it was very, very strange. And I'm just curious for you, Ray, based on this topic, like, you know, was there anything going on that you can kind of point to in the astrology around the eclipse? Or maybe it's just the eclipse energy is like that, that would cause those kind of strange synchronicities, like, cool, we're having synchronicities, but not exactly for what we're looking for. It was almost like, I felt like Harry Potter when he was walking down Diagon Alley and he goes with Hagrid into that wand shop. And you can tell he's got power. He's using the wand, but he has no idea what he's doing. He's like blowing shit off the shelves and whatnot. It felt like that. It felt like that kind of energy. Was there anything you can specifically point to that may have caused that type of stuff going on?
It was just the eclipse.
Yeah.
I always say manifesting an eclipse is like trying to light a match in a wildfire. You just don't know where that fire is going to get thrown.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think one of the cool things too, and like we were teasing too at the beginning, is that, I mean, everything in life is a psychedelic. You know, I've had, you know, people on the show hear that many times of me saying that. But when it comes to relationships, right? Like if we think about a psychedelic experience, right? A traditional psychedelic experience, where do the challenges emerge? They emerge when we are unaware of a certain aspect of us that maybe has been shamed. Maybe we have guilt over, maybe we've just completely ostracized from our experience of life that then we become aware of. A challenge happens when we're aware of it, but we're not ready to accept it yet, right? So there's kind of like that fight. And when I think about relationships, and especially the last 7 years we've been together, we've had a lot of those types of opportunities to be able to see each other more clearly and be able to mirror back to ourselves a less distorted view of who and what we truly are. But those things have not always come without challenge. You know, like when you've called things out in me that you've seen, you called me forward. Sometimes I have like an ego thing pop up of that, right? And I'm just curious for you, are there any certain times you can think of where our relationship has led to a big breakthrough for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've had several big breakthroughs throughout our relationship. You've taught me a lot of patience, I'll say. I've healed a lot of abandonment wounds through being in relationship with you, and not because I believe that you're not going to abandon me or I feel really safe. I mean, obviously, I don't think you're going to, I don't believe you're going to abandon
here forever,
me. I trust you so much. But the reason I've healed abandonment wounds, and I feel like I might have told this story on this podcast before. That's why I'm like, do I tell it again?
Just send it, right?
I remember like I used to get really mad at you over how you would just talk to everyone at parties and not really check in with me or talk to me. And it kind of felt like when we'd go to parties, I was just like, goodbye, Rachel. I'm going to go live my life. And I would want you to check in with me because my story was like good, solid relationships where someone's not going to abandon you, relationships where you're in equal partnership means that your partner will check in with you at parties or like want to be checking in with you at parties. And so I remember I'd have that conversation with you a lot. And what we realized after like, I think it was like 4 years into our relationship, you kind of like snapped and were like, I just want to be able to be myself when we're out at parties. I don't want to have to like think and control and like appease you and all of these things. And it was in that moment that I realized that, well, I think also it was a come down from Molly that was involved, which sometimes I think can be really helpful to like feel the depth of the pain and like really take responsibility for your triggers. But it was in that moment that I realized that I was trying to control you at parties in order to make me, my ego, feel safe. And feeling the pain of that and the weight of that then made me reflect on all of the relationships I had in my life where I felt quote unquote abandoned. And what I realized was it's not that they wanted to abandon me. It was that they wanted to abandon the behavior I was exuding because I didn't want people to abandon me. And so that was, I think, one of the biggest lessons I've learned from being in relationship with you. It's like crazy how different I feel in my body when in relationship with other people. It's helped me build so much more trust, not just within our relationship, but then it's reverberated out to all of my friendships. And I even told you, like, this was the first year my whole life around my birthday that I've had people like congregate to want to do things with me on my birthday. And it's also simultaneously the first year that I don't feel like no one wants to be with me on my birthday, or that I'm not special enough, or that people will just abandon me. It's like I've completely healed that wound at this point. So now it's just like naturally people want to do things with me on my birthday, which is so wild and crazy. And I really attribute that to you, because my whole life I hated my birthday. It felt like a day when I didn't have that many people who wanted to celebrate me. It felt like a day where I just saw how unspecial I was. And then like actually slowly over the course of the last few years, since we've had that big breakthrough, it's been getting better and better. Like where I did have someone come out last year to celebrate my birthday, but now it's like more people want to celebrate my birthday. And I really attribute that to our relationship and that lesson that I learned between you and I. But also, you've taught me a lot of patience, because there's been a lot of things with you that I've had to be patient around, and I haven't been a patient person most of my life. You know, I won't even go into all the things that I've had to be patient. If you know Ryan, Ryan talks a lot. So if we're out at a party and we're trying to go somewhere or leave, it can take a while to get out of there because, and anyone who's our friend knows this. I'm not, it's not just me who knows this. It's a Ryan
blatantly
fact.
Obvious, guys.
Yeah, it's a Ryan fact that Ryan takes forever to leave places because he's just social, really social. Social as fuck. You've taught me a lot of patience where I've just had to like surrender and not care. Along the lines of abandonment wounds, like I think I used to be a girl who would get mad at you, get mad at people or my boyfriend if he would go like, because this happened in previous relationships, even before you, I'd get mad at my boyfriend if he went somewhere that I would want to go and didn't invite me. And now because I've healed so much abandonment wounds with you, I just like really don't care. I'm like, Ryan can live his own life. I can live my own life. My relationship with you has created so much empowerment within all of my relationships. It's helped me gain more confidence in being me and let my friends be them and trust that that's enough for the relationship to last, and to trust that even if the relationship vibrates out of my life, like I don't even care because now it feels like I'm so abundant in relationships. And that's another big thing you've taught me is to be abundant in relationships, because I have always had very few friends and a lot of social anxiety because I judged myself. And now I realize that whole story was complete BS. And yeah, I feel just completely different in all of my relationships.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I've become a lot more feminine in our relationship. When me and Ryan first started dating, I was the much more masculine one. And when I say that, it's in terms of doing. I was like a big doer. How Ryan is now is how I used to be. And Ryan used to be how I am now, more so. Pretty like accurate. He was more airy-fairy, like go with the flow, like whatever, like kind of not structured or moving forward. And I was like obsessed with moving forward and was like burnout queen for most of my life. And now you're the guy who's like on his shit, like obsessed with moving forward. And I'm like airy fairy, like feminine girl. So it's been actually pretty wild to see our polarities shift like that over the course of 7 years of being together. But I feel like we're like solidifying into new versions of ourselves, which actually makes so much sense because it's been 7 years. And they talk about how all of your cells renew after 7 years. And I do feel like we're both like almost solidified into these new people. And we're both extremely up-leveled. And thankfully, like, our values have like stayed matched, and we're still people. We're still like each other's best friends. Like, you're my best friend, hands down, you know,
forever and ever.
And I actually feel like it's taught me, our relationship has taught me that putting work into relationship is less about trying to change each other and more about accepting one another and gaining empowerment within ourselves while also considering one another and like listening to one another and coming into compromise with one another. But I've realized in our relationship that compromise within a relationship does not equate to changing each other within the relationship.
Definitely.
So yeah. How about you? What have you learned? I know you just said a lot.
I mean, that was amazing because I would have brought up a lot of those same examples. The first one I'll bring up is kind of one of the last ones you brought up, which was our polarity shift. Guys, you know, something I'll share about me is that, you know, I've hinted to this in other episodes. I may have said it before. I've done so many episodes, I forget. But when Rachel and I first met, I was living in a very disempowered state of reality. I was working at the dispensary. That was the only plan I had, was just to rise the ladder at a dispensary. And before that, I had no idea what I was going to do because I knew I didn't want anything to do with a mainstream life. I didn't want to work a mainstream job. I didn't want to have the White House, the picket fence at 28 and the three kids and all of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I was witnessing a lot of people around me that chose that path, which is great. It was awesome for them. But it made me feel more and more like an outsider and an outcast. And when I met you, I remember the first conversation we had. Now, of course, I've been growing cannabis for a long time. I'm into a lot of weird holistic health principles to the average person. And so at the dispensary, I would talk about, you know, certain things with people and share about water and, you know, why high quality spring water is the best and all these things. And, you know, some people will be curious about it, but I never met anyone that was passionate about it like I was. At that point, I hadn't been in the Czech community, the Enlifted community, this before all of that. And so when Rachel first came in, I remember that, of course, she immediately caught my eye. And so you went in. Was it before or after that you came out to me? Was it before your interview?
I came in. Yeah, I talked to you before my interview because Seth was late to interview me.
Gotcha. So I, of course, you know, decided, I'm like, oh, you can just come right around to me, right? There were other registers open. I'm like, yeah, I'll take you. And so we start talking, and you were telling me about your father who was building you Sluckit Systems. And immediately I was like, who is this woman and who is your dad and what does he do? You know, like I was like, wow, this is wild.
Oh, you mean we should say Sluckit Systems are for growing hydroponically?
Yeah.
Yeah, growing cannabis hydroponically, because I did that in the beginning of growing.
Yeah, it's like a recirculating deep water culture system that's really badass. You know, obviously, you guys know I'm an organic, you know, guy, but I do appreciate the engineering that goes into systems like Sluckit Systems and, you know, recirculating deep water culture systems, because they are like very finicky as well. Like if you mess up once, your plants are going to be dead in hours, right? Versus organic, you can mess up and your plants will come back 2 to 3 weeks later, no problem, you know? So immediately I knew, I'm like, this girl is a gangster, you know? And wow, you really like a lot of the same stuff I do. And so when we got together, this is really when a lot of my journey kickstarted. And I talked to a lot of men about this specifically, that quote, behind every great man is a greater woman. I understand where that comes from, you know, because there's a certain qualitative aspect to life that I can't put a name on, right? And for anyone that maybe is homosexual, a feminine counterpart to a masculine counterpart, right? Doesn't need to be gender. But at the same time, you know, like that counterpart has allowed me to push myself more, because you, one of the best things about you, Rach, is that you don't buy into my bullshit. And that's something that I needed way more than I would have ever known. Because when I fall into stories, or when I've fallen into stories in the past, you've been the first to say, you know, that's not true, right? And my ego gets super triggered over that, right? It's led to some arguments, but I'm able to come through it and realize, like, wow, this girl is able to see the best version of me. And she is not giving up whatever when it comes to allowing me to become that version of me. She's not going to hold back. That's why whenever I have a challenge, I can ask you and know I'm going to get a real answer. You're not going to give me the answer I want to hear, but you're going to give me the answer that I need in that moment. And sometimes, great, it lines up and it's what I wanted to hear. But also sometimes it makes me have to really take a deep breath and look into myself. And when we got together, you know, all of a sudden now you're very driven. You know, you have goals and all these things. And I had physical goals of, like, you know, exercise and things like that. But in terms of my big dream, my mission, my purpose, my legacy, I was still really confused on how I was going to make that happen. And I remember, like, there's so many little things I could talk about. Like one thing was right after I talked to Mark England for the first time and he pitched this idea of me joining his program. I didn't know what a program was. I had never been in a coaching sphere whatsoever. I had gone to school for psychology, but I had no idea what this whole thing was. And I called you after, and you just asked me, what does your heart say? And I said, it says yes. And you were like, then why are you calling me? Right. And so, like, those kind of things, right? Where Rachel and her adorable voice would be like, why are you calling me then? Just say yes. Right. So it's like one of those things where you've pushed me out of my comfort zone so much, and you've gotten me excited to be pushed out of my comfort zone to a level now where I really feel like I know how to do that for myself. Albeit you still push me even a little farther, right? When I think I've kind of figured out a new comfort zone. But when I say that the last 7 years of not only my life, but also my career and everything is really rooted in your ability to push me into the best version of myself, I do not say that lightly. You know, when I was looking to get on Paul Check's podcast and I was terrified to ask him, and we got invited to his birthday party, and you were like, let's go, even though it was during our vineyard time. And we went out there and it was just like this, like, holy shit moment of like, you know, I really credit you with having pushed me so much to go out and meet these people that I love and get into conversation with them. And you've also been able to reflect to me who I really am and how I'm received as like a funny person, someone that's cool to be around, you know, these kind of things that I just thought were very normal. And they are to a certain degree. It's not like I have special abilities someone doesn't have, but this ability to see who I really am for myself and be confident in that, and to be able to stand toe to toe with people I've looked up to for years, like a Paul Check or an Aubrey Marcus or a Kyle Kingsbury and those kind of type, and really see myself as, hey, if these people are reaching out to you, it's because they're interested in what you say. It's not that you randomly got lucky. It's not that, oh my God, they haven't realized yet that you're a fraud, right? Or any of these things that have popped up in my mind along my journey. But you've really been able to say, no, you worked for this, you deserve it, and now go get it. And that's been huge for me. I mean, it literally is like, I don't even know what my life would look like if you weren't in it. So I seriously say thank you a million bajillion times. And that's a true measurement.
Oh, Bobby, I love you. You're my favorite. Also, me and him, I think one of the keys to our relationship is how silly and playful we are and how we have little songs and like little phrases we say to each other all the time. Like, my favorite. We also talk in the third person. He's my favorite. I love him.
Mm-hmm. How is she today? Like, I love her. How's she doing, huh? Well, think about Pierre too. I mean, this poor dog, guys, for those who don't know, I have an adorable French bulldog. We call him the Brad Pitt of Frenchies because he's literally perfect. Or as we say, he's perfect. But this poor dog probably has no idea what his real name is because we have, I don't know, probably 1,000 nicknames for him. We call him so many different things. And Pierre has been a big part of our relationship as well. We got him a year and a couple of months ago. And that was like really big for us because for you and I, like we've decided together, like, we're going to have kids later on in life. Like we really enjoy having our freedom at this stage. But there was a part of me clicking in that was like, you know, I've had cats before, but cats are a totally different energy. And having Pierre is like the perfect amount of like child that is right for us at this time. And it's been so fun just bringing him out and having his big personality just open up. And you were a big part of that for me too, right? And like, you know, I was a little nervous, take out the little, I was nervous around having a dog because I've never had one before. What?
He didn't want to get Pierre. I told Pierre I wanted you.
Yeah. Sometimes Rachel will troll me and be like, Pierre, you know, daddy didn't even want you. I'm like, that's not true. I did want you. I was just scared because I know that dogs, you know, take a lot of energy, and I've had a lot of belief systems around, you know, my own energy. And a lot of that was also something you taught me, was that I was saying yes way too much. I didn't have boundaries. Like when Rachel was talking about the polarity shift, this one's taken a little longer for me. And it's been probably one of the most challenging things for me because I have this incessant feeling in me to make people around me feel good, when in reality, that's not possible. I can't make anyone feel anything. And second of all, a lot of times I'm just projecting the fact that they want to feel good. Like maybe I'm just projecting that. You really allowed me to see that people-pleasing tendency I had in me, see where it came from, and start to realize like, hey, I don't need to say yes to everything. I don't need to put myself in a position where I'm feeling overexerted because no one was asking me to do these things or forcing me to do them, I should say. It was me and my own belief systems, and you called that out of me. And a big part of that too was when we got Pierre, it was a little bit more challenging for me to try to work late, to try to not be around because he needs to be at walked. He needs to do all these things. And it's a great pattern interrupt for me. And that's, I think, what you hopping into the feminine and our polarity shifting has really done for me, is that around 6 p.m. now, like before we lived together, I would work till 11 midnight, 1 in the morning, not for any reason. Like it wasn't like I had a deadline. Every once in a great while, maybe, but most of the time I just had this like addiction to producing and being a workhorse. And it was kind of a polarity shift, right? Because we were talking about when we first got together, I was more feminine. I didn't really know what I was doing in life. I didn't really have a dream. I just knew that what I loved, and I tried to do those things as much as possible, but I had no structure to it or anything. And when we switched polarities back, you know, it kind of went full berserker the other way, where then it was really hard for me to actually stop going. And I found this incessant need to keep going all the time. And it was really hard to relax. And I had this whole belief system that relaxation was laziness and all this kind of stuff. And so when you were able to help me switch that polarity back, I was able to start really saying no more, really start owning my worth. And this is a big thing that I'm integrating right now still. Like another whole evolution of this is happening right now, where I've been realizing that I'm giving way too much of myself away when it comes to, you know, getting back to every question someone asks me and things like that. When in reality, you know, every mentor I've trained with, there's a certain level they get to where they say, hey, I can't get back to every DM anymore. I can't do that because I'm going to focus all of my energy on my clients, on my students, on the people that are really focused on not just asking me a question, but diving into the full process. And so you've been sharing that with me for quite a while. And it was only in around December, I think in support of Jason Ganzouk's HTMA protocol we've been doing, that my nervous system actually started settling into that of like, no, I deserve to have my time back. I deserve to be able to create an efficient business. And also energetically speaking, I'm not really doing anyone favors if they can reach out to me, ask a question, I get back to them immediately, and then I never hear from them again, right? Like the right way in my mind to do that is to say, hey, if you'd like to ask questions, here's the avenue you can do it. And yes, you have to put some skin in the game because I'm only going to spend time supporting those that I know are really going to take what I say and at least have some inspiration in it. I don't care if anyone follows what I say, but I care that they're showing up, they're doing the work, they're asking me good questions, and they're integrating, right? They're really able to like start creating their life. And so that's been a big thing that you've been teaching me for the past 7 years. It's really, I feel like, fully integrating in the past couple of months, because now I'm actually owning it myself. They're like, yeah, I want to have more time to spend with my clients, my students in the CCC, building products, and really being able to continue spreading the message on podcasts and things like that. So that was a lot of stuff, but you've helped me with a lot of stuff. So I'm going to keep remembering more and more things, but that's been a big one. And I super appreciate you for reflecting those things to me.
Yeah. I wanted to say one other thing too, that I think I've learned in our, of what I've learned in our relationship is before being in relationship with you, I was always like prone to wanting to break up with people because I was like, oh, they're not perfect enough, or they're not like staying on the pedestal. So like, time to end it, you know?
And then you were like, wow, Ryan's perfect. No, just kidding.
I mean, because of how much I love you and because of our relationship, I've learned the major lesson of like that it's actually better to stay in relationship and go through the challenging times and be willing to go to the depths with someone, even if you're in like a 9-hour screaming match where each of you are crying and everything in you just doesn't want to be around that person anymore. And just like your ego just wants to be right and is like, fuck you, we're done.
I know that feeling.
Because I love you so much, and because I chose to commit to you to the extent that I did, when we've gotten into fights, which I previously like could have been like relationship ending fights, or even like stretches of time where it's like, you know, because everyone goes through stretches of time in a relationship where it's like things are not as sparkly and fun as they once were. And it's easier to get into fights, and it's easy. And maybe I was emasculating you in my head at some points, and, you know, and like moments where you're like, are we going to last forever? And I've actually learned with you that it's getting through those moments and really touching the hot stove in those moments and being willing to be your absolute truthful self and like hear each other's stinging words and like sit in a fight. And like I said, fight for possibly 9 hours straight on a car ride home from Virginia. We've done that a couple times.
Yeah, maybe a couple.
those have been the times that we've made it through to the other side and came into more love and more connection and more depth within our relationship, and it have actually been some of the biggest growth moments of my life. And so I'd say one of the biggest lessons I've learned being in relationship with you is it's actually important to stay in relationship with people. Like, unless they're like physically abusing you or
a narcissist or something,
but maybe even with it or not. No, I actually feel like it's like even with a narcissist, if a narcissist is willing to take self-responsibility at some point and do the work, you know, I think what I've learned from being in a relationship with you is as long as the other person is willing to do the work, you can get through anything. I think the problem is when the other person's not willing to do the work and you're just like dragging ass. And then I think there becomes a point where maybe you don't stay together, but it's mostly because your values are not aligned. And like, why be in a relationship with someone who doesn't have aligned values with you, you know? Yeah. But I've just learned that like, if there's something there, like keep going, because there's actually an opportunity to grow way deeper into yourself and way deeper into the relationship. And we've come back from moments like that even stronger, and like we're back in the honeymoon phase again.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you just stated that for many reasons. I love reflecting on these things, but also because if we're talking about relationships as a psychedelic, what do I know from working with psychedelics for a long time? What do I imagine many listeners who have connected with psychedelics understand is that many times, and we have this happen at Breathe with Cannabis, where I'll share with people beforehand, hey, make sure you go low and slow. You know, you don't need a lot for this. And I do that specifically so people don't just cheap away while they're talking to people and whatnot. I know how it happens, right? You're in a big social environment. You're not really paying attention. You're hitting it. And then you realize, oh my God, I am completely blasted. But I think at the same time, what that also does to some people is it kind of puts it in their mind of like, ooh, maybe this is going to be uncomfortable. And that's accurate. Maybe it is going to be. But I think some people might psych themselves out, because I've had a couple of people that will take a couple of hits and then say, oh my God, I need to come down, right? And I'll go sit with them and I'll say, hey, I can definitely bring it down with CBD and black pepper kernels. But let me ask you this. Is this really a negative experience for you? Or is it actually you getting exactly what you came here to get, which is a transformation? Are you starting to feel the kind of comfort zone starting to stretch a little bit? And I think that that experience, right, of taking a psychedelic and being so excited to take it beforehand or so committed to taking it, but then as soon as challenge arises, you want to kind of run from it, right? The ego wants to run from it. And this is exactly what you're talking about in relationship. You know, for me, one of the things I've noticed is I've definitely had those thoughts too of like, oh my God, are we going to be together forever? Oh my God. But call me delusional, call me whatever. I just keep going forward. And that has never really crossed my mind as a real thing. I've thought about it, but I've never gotten close to being like, I'm literally going to break up with Rachel. Never once. Because I know that in most cases, I'm at least 50% of the challenge happening, right? And that takes a lot of ego blows to realize that no matter how right you think you are, it takes two to tango here. But at the same time, the real beauty in this, as I see it, is Carl Jung has a famous quote that I love, which is, no tree's branches can reach to heaven if its roots don't first reach to hell. And so what we're speaking about here is that our ability to get uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, guys. Like, you know, it might seem as though because we're in a good mood now that we've completely enlightened this experience and we're all positivity, but I can tell you that is not the case.
But like, what's up? I said, I think we are in a really good space right now.
Oh, right now. Yes.
And I will say that there's like ebbs and flows, and it's funny because like I've heard some of my friends like who haven't been in some long-term relationships say when they find the person, it's just going to be ease. And I actually think when you find the person, it's like, well, now you're strapped into the ride, buckle up. Like it's not that it's ease. It's that there's really high, amazing long spurts of time. And then in order to continue to feel those highs is going to the depths and transmuting some stuff, because we're direct mirrors for one another. And that's, I think that's why me and you have grown so quickly together in a relationship.
Well, there's one thing that I know that both of us are, and there's a lot of things I could say this about with us, but there's one thing I know that we are, it's committed to our own evolution and our evolution together as a couple. And I think that that foundation is the strongest foundation to build a relationship on. And it's not like 7 years ago we talked about this. Like, I'll speak for myself. I was not aware of any of this stuff really when I got together with you. I don't know if you were, but we literally came into all of this.
I wasn't aware of this. I learned this through being in relationship with you.
Yeah, same. You know, and so we've taught each other this. And, you know, as anything you teach yourself, there's some ruts in the road. There's some messiness, right? I can think back to some of the fights we would have at the dispensary. And I can just think back to how I viewed that. It's like, oh my God, Rachel's so wrong. Like, I'm so right here. And it's just like, it's those times where I'm like, wow, I have grown a lot. Albeit no one's perfect, you know, but my ability to catch that ego trap sooner and sooner has been really amazing. And a big part of it has been because we understand alchemy to a certain degree. Like, there's a certain point where we get into an argument where we both know now we just need some space from each other. And then I'll come back and be like, sorry, babe, you know? And then I'm like, can I sit with you and Pierre? And then everything's fine, you know, because I'm willing to own up. What's up?
I was going to say, I also feel like in those moments when we understand the power of giving ourselves space and then we self-reflect. And I know, at least for me, and I have imagined this happens for you too, Ryan, is there comes a point in the space where I'm self-reflecting where I ask myself, where can I take responsibility for this argument? Because even though no part of me wants to, it's like literally the hardest thing in the world to even like think of how I could take responsibility for this trigger and argument. But it's like the moment I do and we come back together is the moment that we both feel resolved because we both do it.
100%. I'd say we've gotten very good at both of us being able to own up to sometimes it's like a 50-50 thing, right? Like we both just got triggered and something happened. But sometimes it's completely a me thing. Sometimes it may be more you thing, right? But we're very good at being able to have that separation, right? Go to our rooms or whatever. And as soon as I'm there, even if like, let's paint a ridiculous scenario, right? Which has never happened, but let's paint a scenario that it's completely Rachel's fault, which never exists. But let's just say that, right? We've gotten to a point now where even I will be able to say, you know what? Even in a parallel universe where this was 100% Rachel's fault, I maybe don't like the way I responded to that. I maybe don't like the way that I held her on a tightrope, right? Because I can remember times that I've been completely at fault, that you've been able to have grace with me and love me, even in the face of my own distortions. And so even in those times where maybe, you know, you got triggered at me and it had nothing to do with me, but just, you know, I was in the room when it happened or whatever, in those times, I can still learn like, well, how did I respond to that? Did I like try to jump down her throat the second that she got triggered with me? Where can I see my own challenge in this? Because it always takes two to tango. And of course, my ego is like, no, don't do that. Nuh-uh, that's not safe. But what I've learned over time is that it is safe with you because, you know, I think for me, I was raised in a family and I love my family, guys. Like they are the fucking best. They gave me the best childhood ever, but like anyone, they have challenges, like big surprise. And so I watched my mom and dad not argue to find resolution, but to just see who can argue better and who can checkmate the other person. And so that was another big thing that you taught me is that I wasn't arguing to find resolution. I was just arguing to kind of like, you know, checkmate you and kind of put you in a jujitsu thing where I thought like, haha, I've won. And it was funny because that pattern has played out in a couple different areas of my life. You know, there was a time where when my social media started really getting big after Aubrey, I started getting a lot of trolls for the first time coming on and being like, you know, this guy's stupid. This stuff's retarded, you know, whatever. Right. And I would get really triggered over that stuff because I'm like, you're coming out of my profile, my life's work. And you're not saying you disagree and you'd like to have a conversation about it, but you're just trolling me. Like, I'm going to crucify you, you know, and that would be the energy. My ego would literally tell me that, like, I'm going to make sure that you never come on my profile again. And I would do it with quote unquote kindness. Like I wouldn't just like freak out on them, but I would have this pattern of like wanting to like, you know, do it in a way where it's like jujitsu. So they can't say that I'm being mean to them, but like, they also have no real comeback without like just seeming like goofy or whatever. And I thought I was so slick with this. You know, I thought like you called it out right away. You're like, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, like, honestly, why are you spending time talking to these people? Focus more of your time on the people that are asking questions and that are your clients and things like that. But for me, I was like, no, like, you know, like I don't want people coming on there and saying stupid stuff. You know, if you're going to disagree with me, awesome. We can have a conversation. But if you're just going to call them and troll, I'm going to make sure that I end that conversation. And I remember that you had been telling me this. What? Yeah. Yeah. Typical Aries thing. And so you'd been telling me this and I didn't want to see it yet. And then I remember one day after I'd had a back and forth with one guy, a random person reached out to me and was like, hey man, I love your stuff. I love what you do. And I just want to let you know, you don't need to prove yourself to any of these trolls. Like, you know, I don't even know why you're going back and forth with them type thing. And I realized in that moment, oh my goodness, this is not sneaky. Like everyone can see this. And I was the only one that really couldn't see where this energy was coming from. And that was a huge transformation for me. Where now if someone comes on, and it still happens, they'll troll me or try to troll me. I'll just say with actual empathy, right? I don't do it as like a troll thing back. I say with actual empathy, like, hey, it looks like I'm not the right person for you. We can agree to disagree. And I wish you well in your journey. I hope you find the people you're looking for. And because of that, I've actually ended up having some really amazing conversations with some of these people. And now they're some of my good online friends. Sometimes they're the ones that come stick up for me before I've even noticed that someone's doing that now to me. And one of them specifically reflected to me he was like, man, I came onto your profile. I had some, really shitty things happening in my life and I took it out on you. And the fact that you didn't go there with me, the fact that you still held me in love and saw me for like just someone who was hurting really like catapulted me out of that. And I was like, holy shit, like that has power. And again, I'm not saying like kill him with kindness, like, haha, I hope you're fine. Like, no, I'm like literally like sending these people compassion and love because I understand as someone who's hurt before that hurt people go out and hurt people, not because they're just sadistic, but because they're going through things too. And, I'm not going to necessarily open up the conversation every time and say, tell me what's going on in your world, but I'm going to show them like, hey, even in the face of you projecting your frustration on me or your anger on me, I'm not going to give you a taste of your own medicine anymore because an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. I now get to own giving you a taste of my own medicine, which challenges my ego that wants to try to give you a taste of your own medicine, but also allows me to say, no, I'm going past that. Like, that's not what I am anymore. That's not me. That's not how I want to show up in the world. And I want to show up with love and kindness to anyone. Now, of course, this does not mean I don't set boundaries. This does not mean that I'm going to let people walk all over me, but it means that if someone just comes at me with some anger, I'm not going to react back to them. And again, this is a process, right? Not an outcome. This has taken me a long time to be able to realize that nothing is personal in life, right? Like I get to stop thinking that someone's coming on my profile and take it personal when they insult me. I've realized now that these people are just, like I said, hurting people because they haven't been able to find a way out yet. So that's another thing that you've been able to help me a lot with. And it's transformed my entire life.
Yeah, I feel like, I was actually going to say that I feel like we've taught each other to not take things personally, because I believe that's how we resolve our conflicts. Is when we take that space, it's realizing like each of us gets triggered and understanding this about each other, that each other are getting triggered, not because it's something that wrong with each other or something that each other did. It's that something happened in our past or in our past lives that's like ingrained into our body. Like there's a reason our body gets triggered and it didn't start with each other. Like us getting triggered with each other is a really, really great opportunity to like come back into our body, like breathe, hear each other out. And then I've noticed when we truly hear each other out, like we don't argue and then try to cut each other off, but like we actually allow the other person to like go full out and say everything that they feel and just like sit there and accept it, is when we're actually able to transmute it. And when it actually does come out that it had nothing to do with the other person. Like I remember me and you were in a really big fight. Oh, maybe it was like a few months ago, and we got so heated that you went to your office and I stayed out here. And then like I usually do, I go and look at the charts, the astrology charts. And I was like, what's going on in the sky right now? And I saw that there was an aspect to Pluto, like a really strong aspect to Pluto. And I was like, and what that basically means is like deep transformation and opportunity for deep transformation. And so after we had taken that space, I looked at the chart. I was like, I'm going to go back in there and I'm just going to hear him out and just see where we can go. And I'm not going to say anything except for hold space and see where it goes from there. As much as everything in my body didn't want to do it, it was like I had to snap myself to go into that room and like just breathe and sit there. But then I remember what ended up happening is you ended up like pouring your heart out to me, and then you ended up crying, like bawling your eyes out, and ended up having nothing to do with me and everything to do with your dad. And you had like a huge release around like your dad and your dad's death and your dad not being here and all of these different things. And I remember you said to me, you're like, wow, this is the most I've cried outside of being on psychedelics. Like I used to think I had to take psychedelics to cry like this, but I just cried from literally me just going in there and listening to him and not cutting him off in an argument, but like allowing him to get everything out.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that one up because that is a great example of it. I was feeling a lot of things within me surrounding the fact that like, again, I do see everything happening for me, but like I tell you guys all the time, like that doesn't mean I don't have humanness, right? Like, I understand my dad is infinite, but my humanness still wants to be able to go get breakfast with him. It still wants me to be able to call him and share with him all the things going on in my life because he always lived vicariously through me. My mom does too, but in a different way. She's more yin, he's more yang, right? So we'd always be at every music show I did. He brought me to every concert I went to. My dad and I were very, very close. And so I was feeling a lot around that. I didn't know I was feeling that. I just knew like I just had a lot of uncomfortability with him. And I forget exactly what we got in an argument over, but what happened was when you came in, you know, and this is another thing that you helped me with actually, which is the whole story around not being able to cry that I had. And this I picked up from my mom. My mom has told me that for years. And I've always thought it to be really funny because she can cry. Like she's watching a movie and she cries. But then she's like, I can't cry. I can't cry. And I've always thought like it's funny. And then I was like, holy shit. Like that experience, I was like, fuck, I'm running the same story. No wonder it's so hilarious to me when I see my mom doing it, because my ego isn't allowing me to see that, dude, you also have that, you know, and that's why you're able to see it so much and like the hilarity of it, because you're projecting it on you, right? Like you have that same thing in you. And so when you came in, all of a sudden, because you were just holding space and you came in, like, even though I can understand how challenging that was to come in there right after having an argument and to just sit there and not try to fix anything and hear me out, you did an amazing job. And because of that, because I was getting held in the feminine, I felt safe to go there and I just let it all come out. And you're accurate that that was, I mean, that's the first time that I've cried like that since I was 15, 16 without a psychedelic included. You know, guys, I joke often that typically my cry formula is a 5-gram mushroom tea. I do that like once a year. And that's been how I've tapped deep into my ability to cry. And, you know, it's funny too, because as someone who laughs all the time, laughter and crying are really the same thing. I got that download in a mushroom experience too. And so it's funny how, like, you know, laughter is kind of like the branches going to heaven. Crying is the roots going to hell. And so ever since I was able to click back into that, my ability to feel joy has gone so much deeper. And that was only about 3 months ago, something like that. But ever since then, we've been in a really good stride. Like that changed something deep in me. And I imagine for you as well, like being able to like hold me like that. And I'm just really grateful, Ray. Like that changed my life forever. So
yeah, thank you. We've changed each other's lives in many ways, which is what all great relationships do, which is why we talked about like stay in them. You have shared values. Stay in them, like make it work. Like if you're emasculating your boyfriend in your head because you think he should be acting a certain way, take that responsibility and realize if it's a pattern in your relationships, which it likely is, it was for me. But yeah, I think like anytime you get upset with one another, it's just a great opportunity to reflect on how is this a pattern in my life? How can I grow from this? And because I'll just keep manifesting this in other relationships unless we resolve it here. And so I'm grateful that our relationship has done that. We've been able to get here and transform as much as we did. And I love you.
I love you so much, baby. Babe, this has been amazing. I can't wait to have you back on. You got a seat whenever you want it. You know that. Where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? Where can they find out how to book readings with you? Guys, Rachel does the best astrological readings. And I'm not just saying that because she's my beautiful partner in crime, but literally the amount of research and dedication and commitment she has and passion and love for that field is almost immeasurable. And we've had a lot of people that have worked with a lot of astrologers reflect that to you. And so where can people find you to find out more about that and everything you got going on, Ray?
You can find me on Instagram at Rachel_Veratimos. And then I'm currently starting my YouTube, which is launching on May 9th. And my YouTube is called Astrology Life Magic. So find me Astrology Life Magic on YouTube.
Hell yes. Oh, Ray, you are the best. Love you so much, baby, as always. And to everyone who tuned in, I hope you enjoyed this vulnerable episode from Rachel and I. You know, we're committed to always sharing the highs and also the challenges within our relationship and really allowing you guys to see more and more of what I talk about when I say that life is the psychedelic experience and relationships are the main medicine within that, at least for us. And so guys, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love a 5-star review. Helps us get the episodes and the show out to more and more people, which we love. But wherever you are in the world, I hope you are having the best day ever. And may the force be with you to infinity and beyond. Peace for now, fam.